The epistle upon to be read for the second Sunday of Lent is taken from the epistle of St. Paul to the Thessalonians. Brethren, we pray and beseech you in the Lord Jesus, that as you have received of us how you ought to walk and to please God, so also you would walk, that you may abound the more. For you know what precepts I have given to you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the passion of lust, like the Gentiles that know not God, and that no man overreach nor circumvent his brother in business, because the Lord is the avenger of all these things, as we have told you before and have testified. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto sanctification in Christ Jesus our Lord. And the Holy Gospel. It's a gospel taken from St. Matthew, chapter 17, verses 1 through 9. At that time, Jesus taketh unto him Peter and James and John, his brother, and bringing them up into a high mountain apart, and he was transfigured before them. And his face did shine as the sun, and his garments became white as snow. And behold, there appeared to them Moses and Elias talking with them. Then Peter answering said to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. For if thou wilt, let us make here three tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias. And as he was yet speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and lo, a voice out of the cloud saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And the disciples, hearing, fell upon their face and were very much afraid. And Jesus came and touched them and said to them, Arise and fear not. And they, lifting up their eyes, saw no one but only Jesus. And as they came down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, saying, Tell a vision to no man till the Son of Man be risen from the dead. Those are the words of today's Holy Gospel. And the last state of that man was worse than the first. These are words taken from the Gospel that we read on this past Ember Wednesday. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. This holy and penitential season of Lent, in which you have now entered, is a time of great grace and, of course, repentance. A time during which we ought to enter into ourselves to deplore our past sins and to make effective resolutions to lead a new life in the future. Now, more than ever, is the time to do penance for sin, and of course, to rend our hearts and not our garments, as we read on Ash Wednesday. The sinner who shall let this season of grace go unheeded may well fear to meet the terrible fate of the reprobate in hell. But I trust no one of us will prove so callous and so indifferent to the grace of God, but that we will avail ourselves to the grace to mend the lives and to lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven by a store of the good works that we perform. We may, during this penitential season, cast off the works of darkness and be reconciled with our Lord, as St. Paul says to the Romans. Yet we must also not shut our eyes to the danger and hereafter relapse into the same sins and become even worse state than we were before. In the Gospel we read for Ember Wednesday, there are some weighty words of warning which we should take well to heart about respecting a relapsing sinner into former sins. We should consider the causes and the consequences of a relapse into sin, as revealed by our Lord himself, in order that we may avoid the terrible fate and make our conversion now solid and substantial and enduring throughout the rest of our life. To relapse into sin is attributed by our Lord partly to the tactics of Satan and partly to our own conduct. Our Lord says, the restless and untiring energy of the devil is one of the causes of temptations that come to us and a man who gives in to those temptations. And our Lord compares the restless, untiring energy of the devil to our own apathy. Our Lord says, when an unclean spirit has gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest and finding none. The devil cannot rest. He is filled with an indignation at the thought that we can gain heaven. He is filled with the indignation of the thought that he had been expelled from a soul that he had possessed in peace through mortal sin. And while we, when we have been once reconciled with God by a good confession, take no more trouble about the matter, we forget. We forget about our determined enemy who does not forget about us. We neglect to take the most ordinary precautions. We resign ourselves to a false security, while in fact we ought to be always on our guard, to watch and pray without ceasing. And secondly, our Lord says the devil takes a strong and determined resolution, while many times our resolutions are half-hearted. They're weak and perhaps even worthless. The devil says, in meaning what he says, I will return into my house in which I came out. He does not say, I hope to go back. He doesn't say, I will try to go back. He doesn't say, I'm inclined to go back. He says, I will return. And he says, into my house. The devil considers the poor soul that he once occupied as his own house, his place of abode. He will insist on making it his home again, and he looks upon his return as certain and inevitable. My dear faithful, if we would only make such resolutions as these, most of the time, we hardly make a firm resolution. We might make a resolution for a while, but it's not a firm resolution. So far from considering it certain that we shall not, by God's grace, relapse into sin, some think, well, it's probable, it's inevitable that sin will happen again. And that's an apathy. It's not a firm resolution. We think we may have made a firm resolution, but then it melts away just like the snow in the spring. What we ought to do is to renew our resolutions every day and several times a day. We should oppose the devil's persistence with a firmness and an assurance on our part and say to him, no, you shall not enter into my soul. My soul belongs to God and not to you, devil. You have been driven out as a usurper. And with the help of the one who has driven you out and the one who has conquered thee, that is God, he is ready to give me grace, and you shall not return. If for no other reason, the very audacity of the devil thinking that he can come and make his abode in our soul should arouse us to a holy determination to resist every stratagem of this evil one, we should confidently say to the devil, that which he calls his house is now a temple of the Holy Ghost. We should say, begone, Satan. You shall not enter here. And thirdly, the devil, though audacious, is wily and he's cautious. He reconnoiters like a skillful general to see perhaps where he may attain entrance into a soul, to see whether we are well armed and well prepared with munitions in good order. His object is to find some weak point, for it is there that he will make his attack. If he finds such a weak point, some passion that is not subdued, some evil inclination that a soul cherishes, these that he will use as traitors in the camp, and then the devil will try to employ them. And he finds any fault or defect, if he finds such a self-love, or he finds in a soul dislike for others and uncharitableness, if he finds in a soul slothfulness and remission in the discharge of duties, religious duties especially, if he finds in a soul inordinate attachment to creatures, avarice or anger or sensuality, he will at once seize upon these positions, and they will give him command over the entire territory of the soul. If he finds the fortresses of the soul destitute of arms and munitions, He enters at once, and he takes possession without resistance. But if, on the other hand, he fails to find any such advantage, if he does not find a traitor in the camp, no outpost that he can seize, if he finds the soul well armed and prepared in all points because of grace and because of virtue, then the devil becomes baffled, but only for a time. He retires only to apply other measures. My dear faithful, when we have such an indefatigable enemy, we should never desist from using our utmost endeavors to check and curb every inordinate inclination that we may have, to uproot every evil habit that may have crept into our souls, to fortify our soul with every virtue and with the armor and the grace of God. And above all, we should never cease to watch and pray that we may be not surprised by the enemy. He is a relentless enemy, but God is on our side. The devil may summon up all of the devils of hell to fly against us, or take seven wicked spirits, more wicked than himself, and try to enter into the soul. But we must remember, as strong as he is, as cunning and as wily as he is, he can never enter into a soul, nor can he ever get one to sin unless one wills him to enter, unless one wants to sin. In proportion to our mistrust of ourselves, we must have great confidence in God. The devil makes his attack with vigor and obstinacy, but we have the saints. We have our guardian angel. We have all of the angels of heaven. We have the very blessed mother. And of course, we have our Lord and Savior at our beck and call. We should never lose courage. In times it may seem impossible to hold out against sin, we lose sight of the promised crown, the crown of victory. And some yield to the violence of the assault, flattering themselves that they could rise from this fault and again enter into the joy of God. And then the latter state becomes worse than the first. And the question is, if one does allow themselves to fall again into their former sins, again, not because the devil has made them do it, but because they choose to become a relapsing sinner, then the question is, will that person, that soul, have the courage and the strength or the grace to rise from that repeated fall? My dear faithful, during this penitential season, strive to pure the consciences from sin, to break the bonds of the vicious habits of sin, to free ourselves from the slavery of Satan. Let us not forget to take all precautions which have been pointed out in order to secure ourselves against the danger of a relapse. By the firmness of our resolutions, a faithful correspondence with divine grace, we will build an invincible rampart against the stratagems of the devil and temptation. If we persevere unto the end, then we may have at length possessed the kingdom of God, where the devil cannot enter, where temptations will be no more. That is the kingdom for which we are created. We are created for a kingdom of peace. We are created for a kingdom of grace. We are created for a kingdom of love. We are created for heaven. May God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.